sea in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree.
There's a light in the window, just salty gals inside.
I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied.
Got the storytelling, ego swelling,
pillow talking, moonlight walking sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I am Chris Sheffa.
And I'm Katie Nordgren. And with us, oh, very exciting episode this week. We have two guests. Ooh. This has only happened once before.
Whoa!
Oh, we have Kyle Carpenter, and I don't know how to say your last name.
Nico DiCecco.
Oh, DiCecco. I was like, DiCecco. That would not have been right.
It's a good name. It has music.
Nico DiCecco? That's a lovely name.
It's lovely. And you are wearing a striped shirt, which makes me believe that you were just piloting a gondola on the way over here.
Yeah, it's a terrible way to transit in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's very dry. Anyway, they're here to promote their fringe show, 50 Shades of Dave, which is an erotic parody of the Vinyl Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
That sacred Canadian radio program with a recently deceased creator.
Yeah.
Let's just get out in front of that.
Let's just nail that down right now.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It's a very loving tribute.
You started writing it before he died.
We did.
Yes.
You're not total assholes.
No. Actually, a year before he died.
Yeah.
Wow.
We started in when our fringe applications due. I mean, we wrote the first story like years and years ago. And then fringe applications came due in September and October, something like that.
Yes.
And we started working on the full 60-minute show around then. And then he died in February, a month after we finished our first draft. And then we had about 6 months to polish it. To recalibrate so as to avoid being assholes.
We were always pretty nice with it.
Yeah.
The whole thing started as a party trick, basically.
Because you can do a pretty mean Dave impression.
Both of us could sort of do the impression.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we would just start saying awful things back and forth to each other.
Again, just to make our friends laugh.
Yeah.
And then we, once we just didn't get tired of it, we decided like, well, what if we wrote a full story? What would it sound like?
And I think it would go a little something like this.
You're prompting me. Yeah, we'll get there.
Damn it.
This isn't morning radio. You don't have to hear.
No, I'll do it for sure. I'd love to.
Wah, 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 wah.
Katie and the jerk. I'm the jerk.
Yes, I know. Anyway, wow, we're really full of beans this morning.
Yeah, I know. I'm literally eating beans this morning.
Fantastic. Sorry, Nico. Please continue.
Anyway, very quickly, it became clear to us that what we wanted to do was write it as if Stuart McLean were writing a sex story himself.
Okay.
That was funnier to us, and I think it was more tasteful and just struck the tone of the Vinyl Cafe much more accurately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And more satisfying, like a more satisfying thing to write, because I think it's hilarious to make Stuart McLean say the most raunchy shit. But it's funny. It's funny for 5 minutes.
Yes.
It couldn't carry a full 60 minutes.
But he carried Canada for 20 years with the way that he wrote his stories. So using that as a model was the best gift we had, really, in this whole thing.
It's like completely, it's like anti-theology of Canada to say that you don't like the Vinyl Cafe, to say
but
that you don't like...
Do.
Oh, no, it's true. A lot of people really hate it.
It's been fascinating doing the show, just hearing all the different perspectives on it.
Yep.
People, and it's great for us, because people who love the Vinyl Cafe, they're so excited to hear the impression and hear the stories.
I've always wanted to hear a horny Dave.
They have.
Yeah.
Weirdly, it's true.
I've always been in the back of my mind. I want to know how he fucks.
I've had one person say that she needs 5 years before she can see our story.
Okay.
Our story.
Huh.
One, yeah. And everybody else is like, oh, that's funny. That's just immediately funny. And then the other side, people who hate it, love it, because we're taking the piss out of it.
Right.
So it's
we're really
on sides.
Having our cake and
we are
eating it too.
The toughest sell is people who have no idea who either Stuart McLean is, or, weirdly, who Garrison Keillor is. Because I can sell Americans on this show with saying, Garrison Keillor reading sex stories. And they're like, oh, okay, I'm in. That's fine.
Yeah.
That sounds
funny. But, flyering, there's been a few times. Oh, I don't know.
Prairie Bone Companion.
Oh, thank you. Oh, God. Okay, sorry, how much do you want? No. How much do you want?
$25.
$25?
No, I'm joking. I'm kidding. That's all yours.
We'll work out the deals later.
Yeah, like flyering lines, just saying, hey, would you like to hear about a show? If they're American, it's like, cool, got it. But yeah. I keep running into, like, Irish people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, ugh, I don't. I'm not going to waste your time. Have a great friend. Should I walk on?
Yeah, I did that the other day, except I'm more aggressive or bolder. I don't know what it is. I keep going. And so it's like, oh, you don't know Garrison? Okay, do you like sex stories?
Do you like sex?
Do you like sex? And it's, I mean, because it is. It just works as a comedy of errors about awkward middle-aged people having sex.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's all I want to see things about.
Right?
Pretty much. I just watched It's Complicated for the first time recently.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Which was really fun, watching, you know, Alec Baldwin try to get his fuck on with,
oh, that guy fucks
so much with Meryl Streep. That gal fucks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she fucks.
She
for sure.
Fucks.
But, Steve Martin doesn't fuck.
Yeah, I don't think he fucks.
I don't think he fucks. He just banjos.
Yeah.
Well, other people fuck.
Yeah. Right.
On the Prairie Bone Companion.
The soundtrack to an orgy.
Yeah. Lamb, lamb,
oh, shit. Sorry.
Eight dogs, eight banjos.
No, this is... we're writing next year's show already.
Okay, perfect. Fantastic. Right. That one you can tour to the States. You can take
exactly.
it to
That's
Seattle Fringe.
Yeah.
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 Seattle
Fringe. We'll write a yuppie deliverance.
I guess you'd have to do, you'd have to do, like, the Savage Love cast, but make it completely innocent. Like, that's the only way you could do the same thing there, is pretty much, like, take Dan Savage and make him so...
Pure.
So pure and so fine.
But we could take it to Orlando. Orlando's got a great Fringe, and they love sex stuff.
Yes.
Ah, okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, and you can, change it to, Garrison Keillor and...
Yeah,
just the
Prairie Bone Companion. That's a genuinely good idea, and I will compensate you for it.
But I will say one of the coolest things is how stoked people have been to hear new Vinyl Cafe stories.
Yeah.
Like,
that's very heartwarming.
And that's the point. That's actually the point of it.
I just got really like...
So it's something that exists outside of Stuart McLean. Like, it became so big in his creation of it that it now is completely separate from him in a lot of ways. So, like, it's an idea and a feeling that you can bring.
So, Nico, I haven't told you this yet, but my partner Megan is volunteering at this year's Fringe, so she's hearing the chatter on the street that's not meant, to buoy us up after a performance. Mm-hmm. Nobody's fluffing us when she hears this stuff. So
they don't provide the volunteers for that at the Fringe.
No, it's true. It's an oversight. Yeah. But she said she overheard some people talking, and one was selling... a friend on the show, and they said that it was like listening to the missing stories.
Oh my God.
Right?
That's so nice.
It feels so good.
I'm just so happy to see you boys happy. Oh. To see it going well, because Fringe is such... it's an exercise in self-harm. In a lot of ways.
Have
to
you done
do
the
it.
Fringe?
No, but I know a lot of people who are doing it and have done it and have had like some hard runs this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And have just been like, I want to die.
Yeah. This year? Who's having a hard run this year?
Not at Vancouver, but like at different Fringes. Like I have a lot of friends who've done shows sort of all over Canada this year. Like they did, was there a Halifax Fringe? I don't remember. There was Edmonton, was Halifax, and there's like Victoria, and Vancouver, and Toronto.
Winnipeg's
and so, like, people
one.
Are Winnipeg is another one. So, a lot of people hitting all of those. And, you know, some of them have overall fairly successful shows, but they'll have a couple of really bad performances.
Inevitably. Yeah.
And it's just like, it just seems hard.
It is hard. Yeah. And I mean, the reason I kind of picked up and asked, who's having a hard time is when I find out about that, I plug them. We artists try to help each other out.
Totally.
Plug them at every opportunity. So that, and because it's the truth is, it's never because the show is bad.
Mm hmm.
It's just not finding its audience in whatever city it's in.
And a bad review can sink you. And there's some people out there who seem really, really determined to be as shitty as possible to people who are like amateurs and doing this for the first time.
Yeah, we can name names, can't we?
Yeah, sure. Well, please. We're all about naming names as long as we don't name politicians who can get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, they're just some... And there's some really sweet...
Colin Thomas.
Fuck Colin Thomas. Did Ryan Gunther review his review?
He sure did.
Yeah.
So, do you know Ryan Gunther, Chris? He is a local comic and a fringer and a very smart and very mean person.
Nice.
He's never been mean to me, in fairness. He's always been very polite and deferential, but as one should be in my presence.
But he's got a streak.
A dark streak to him, and he has that ability to observe, find the most vulnerable point and attack. And so he does review amazing. Reviews. So anytime one of his friends gets a terrible review for like a Fringe show or something mm-hmm. like that, he will take the review and review it. And then it break apart their arguments. It is almost erotic to read it. It is so satisfying to see it picked apart.
Yeah. Yeah. And so a couple shows that were in Victoria before they came to Vancouver got reviews by Colin Thomas on his blog. And he was
I know how to take the ferry. That fucking guy.
Yeah. He's like, how did I see these shows already before Vancouver Fringe started? I got a ticket on the ferry. Yeah, it's just smug.
What a
Someone
douche.
Should have pushed him off.
Yeah.
Oh, you're king of the world, Colin Thomas? Not anymore.
And
two names, idiot.
At the risk of being controversial, he's not always wrong when mm-hmm. he observes things. But he's the meanest.
He's too satisfied with his observations.
So pleased.
That's right. He's
and
very pleased.
He'll make an observation about, you know, something that could be improved.
Totally.
And condemn the entire project as a result. Yeah. Which is not human.
Yeah.
It's not a human
Other people
approach.
Were laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just didn't find it funny. No stars.
Zero stars. Yeah.
I mean, it's better than some of the reviews I've seen on the circuit this year, which Ryan Gunther has also reviewed.
God bless Ryan Gunther.
There's this one woman who works for the CBC in Winnipeg who seems to review shows not for the show, but for, like, the venue they're in, which fringe artists don't have any control over.
No, you get assigned to a space and you try to make it work.
You make it work. Yeah. But she was mad because this great show called Beers About Songs, all about beers, but also not actually about beers, really about spousal abuse. And
okay.
It's like a really moving show mm-hmm. About a man experiencing domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And she was mad. She gave it 3 stars. She had no criticism to the show except that the audience didn't get beer and it wasn't set in a bar. And he couldn't control that. You can't give your audience beer in a black box theater.
What?
That's so stupid.
Yeah, so 3 stars for being in the wrong venue that he had no
control
over.
If I had to review Fringe shows, just everybody gets 5. Like, they're working so hard.
No, that's, you know what, that's not helpful either.
No, but that's why I'm not a reviewer,
that's actually what happened
Nico.
In Regina.
That's why I'm not a reviewer, just because I'm too tender.
But Regina Fringe, which was a disaster this year.
Oh, no.
Oh,
very poorly
Did you
produced.
Take your show there? Or?
I took a different show there.
Okay.
There were no proper reviews because the Regina media was not at all interested or even aware, as far as I can tell, of the Fringe happening.
What else did they have to do?
Canada 150. It happened on that weekend. So they were and the Rough Riders. All they care about
Rough
is the Rough Riders.
Okay. I know this. I know this. My wife is from there.
Yeah. So the Fringe itself had reviewers go out and gave every show they saw a glowing review. Which helps no one decide which shows they do or do not want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, I'm grateful for a bad review if it helps me make my show better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it kind of sucks to get that when it's already on and you can't really do much about it and other people are going to read it.
If you're touring, you can always tweak it. I mean, if we get a bad review here that is a constructive bad review that points out some genuine problems with the show, not that I actually think there are any. There might be. I don't know. We'll find out. But if we do, then we have a year, a little less than a year, to tweak it and punch it up before Montreal and make it an even better show.
Oh, so you're going to take this to Montreal?
Yeah, that's booked.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, boys.
But yeah, I wanted to bring this up. This is my first Fringe.
Okay.
It's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fun.
Good Fringe baby boy.
Yeah. Nico is my compatriot.
Somewhat
experienced. My brother in arms. He's jumped in headfirst and is the most Fringe all the time now.
Yeah.
And it's
I went full Fringe.
Pretty great. I don't think I can go full Fringe.
You cannot. It's not in you.
It's not in
me. Not in your heart. I've accepted this.
Yeah.
I tried for a bit to kind of pull you in under the water, and you're just a good swimmer, man. You're keeping your head up.
Yep. I can do it.
You're doing great.
Kyle likes to wade in up to his waist in everything.
Yeah. Yes.
God, that's true.
And evocative.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's. I think that's very respectable. It means you can do a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm a lot of the same way. I don't like to go so deep into something that's the one thing I do. I like to do a lot of things halfway.
Yeah. Get pretty good.
And then fuck right off and try something else. And then get pretty good at that and then fuck right off.
Amazing. I'm so much the opposite of that.
I
pick one thing for
a bit. Zeroed in.
And like just laser focused. Mm-hmm. I do nothing else and it becomes obsessive. It's a problem in my life. I've lost relationships.
Really lovely that the two of you are working together then, because yeah. I think that's a good mix.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. We balance. You can hold on to his waistband of his shorts as you like.
We have like, swim deeper, you fuck!
I'm not going to.
And I will, but then we don't drown, too.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Aww.
So when you get tired, you can just kind of float. Aww. And then he can be on your chest like a little baby otter. Yeah. Aww, that's a cute image.
Have we done that photo shoot yet? Because we should do that.
Please, yeah. I need a calendar, an entire calendar of this, because that's the cutest thing I've ever heard in my life. We have a similar kind of dynamic where one of us is usually way more hardcore about something than the other. We can kind of just drag each other along.
Mm-hmm. Who's Chris who is, here? Cause
Chris is like...
It depends on the circumstance. I think we flip back and forth depending on the project.
Both switches.
Yeah, we're versatile. We never know who's topping or who's bottoming at any given moment. But we go astrology sometimes on the show, even though we both kind of don't believe in it, but we really believe in it at the same time. She's a Capricorn, I'm a Pisces. So, you know, she's like, oh, I'm going to do it. And I'm like, I'm just floating. It's cool.
You know the classic story about Niels Bohr, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Just the science story.
Everybody knows that, Kyle. You're wasting our time by saying
Niels,
it again.
Yeah, let's never.
Tell me.
Didn't he make that weird little thing that, like, goes into itself?
Ouroboros?
The Möbius strip?
No, I'm thinking of, like, this special kind of flask that goes into its... Never mind.
Oh, the Erlenmeyer... No, that's
something else. That's a regular flask. I'm thinking of a fucked up thing that's not supposed to exist, like the Möbius
strip. Somebody's screaming at us right now.
I know. Yeah. Anyway, I should remember exactly what he's famous for, but I don't at the moment.
The atom. Didn't he discover the atom or the atomic structure?
I am not prepared to confirm or deny that.
It's that line from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That sounds wrong, but I don't know enough to say so.
Please tell us the classic story of Niels Bohr. While Katie looks up what he's famous for.
One of the 20th century's most influential scientists.
So influential that we can't remember.
I'm not a scientist. I'm comfortable with this.
You're an artsman.
Yeah, I'm an artsman. I'm a man of arts.
A man of arts.
Anyway, he had a horseshoe above his door. So somebody called him on it, like, you're a man of science, why are you participating in this superstitious ritual, keeping a lucky horseshoe above your door? And apparently his response was something to the effect of, well, the man who sold it to me assured me it would work even if I didn't believe in it.
Mm. I like that very much.
That's what Neil deGrasse Tyson always says about science.
Right.
It's true whether or not you believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know what else he says about science?
On both sides.
Yeah.
Is that he likes to rub his boner on science.
He does like
he
that.
He loves it. He's like, science feels so good on my boner. He loves science so much and hates everything that isn't science.
Did you see that one tweet of his that was like, if only we studied how knowledge was created and how, like, learn about how we learn in school. And it's like, yeah, that's the humanities, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
Like,
which he has shit on before.
Totally.
Many times.
Yeah. Totally. He's such a killjoy.
I know.
That was, I made a tweet last week about how, you know, that there are some, like, TV scientists who are really, really invested in the idea that they're fuckable scientists. And Neil deGrasse Tyson is one of them. The other one is Steven Pinker, if anyone is curious.
Yeah. Have you lived in Montreal? Did you go to
You know Bill? Steven Pinker fucks.
Uh-huh. His undergrads, probably.
Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, you got that language acquisition device, baby?
Oh, gross. I don't even know who that is, and I feel so skeeved.
I don't know. I've heard some skeevy stories about Steven
Pinker.
Oh,
shit, damn it. I was just thinking that I had, like, an insight into his, like...
Oh, you do.
Okay, too much, though.
Yeah.
Far too
You're
much.
Just
too close to the
too
truth.
Good a judge
this
of character.
Took a turn.
Yeah, well,
we're throwing a lot of
didn't
shade
we start
on pop
with
science.
Didn't we start
Where
with a turn?
Where did this come from?
We started with
doing
a turn.
Show? What happened to that?
What show are you doing? Tell me more about
doing
the show.
We're doing 50 Shades of Dave.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no,
we're talking to Dave.
Now's the time. Let's bust this out.
Can we speak to Dave, please?
Yeah, what do you want to know?
Oh, my God. So real, I can't look you in the eyes. Chris, I think you're going to have to take this one.
You know, it's funny, that's what they say every time I have sex with someone.
This is good radio.
You murdered Katie, she died.
I died. What can we get you to say in this horrible voice?
It's fine. I mean, like we said, this started out as a party trick.
Yeah.
I'll do the party trick again.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
I really want
May Stuart MacLean rest in peace. I'm so sorry if this is...
I bet he would be
I
chuckling.
Think he'd get a kick out of it.
I've heard stories that he did have, like, a darker, dirtier sense
a
of humor.
A bit of a ribald kind of...
Yeah. But he was also just incredibly dedicated to his fan base, and he knew that the vast majority of people who loved his show and supported it didn't even want to hear dirty words. They didn't want to hear any kind of blue material. Mm-hmm. So he stayed away from it.
We're sort of discovering the opposite.
I know, it's funny.
But, no, I think he was right. Like, he did the right thing.
Yeah, because he was on public radio, and so you don't want to have to, like, oh, you know, this might be sensitive for children. Like, you want something that you can all listen to in the car on, like, a road trip or whatever.
And we're getting that forgiveness because it's Fringe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
People know Fringe gets different rules.
You want to be on the edge.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that I think we're on the edge with this.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
No, this, it's such a safe.
It is really safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So but it is fine.
Do you do several distinct stories or how many?
Three.
That's rule of three. Yeah, that makes sense.
Two and a half, in a way. We have two sort of fully shaped stories, and one that's more of an interlude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bit of a vignette. It's still a 10-minute story.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, just, it's the middle beat. It tells the story of Dave and Morley kind of in between discovering this new chapter in their sexual lives, and then the final story where they're in the full swing of it.
Okay, and I feel like swing was a very meaningful word in this.
Oh, we didn't go that way with it.
I was thinking sex swing, maybe.
Oh!
Yeah, that could work.
Can I just give you notes?
Well, I mean, if we ever write a sequel to this, we're going to have to make some plans.
Yeah, a delicate feminine perspective, you can come and get mine.
Yeah.
Delicate.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Feminine.
Of course Dave wouldn't understand anchor points.
No, he would not.
It writes itself.
David had been getting pretty good at this rope stuff, but he still had things to learn. For one, David never understood which beams in the house were load-bearing. I don't know, something like that.
Sorry if I popped the mic.
That's fine.
Oh, I'm sweating from how funny this is. I need to see this show.
Yeah, come see the show. Nice. I mean, it's an hour of this, right? And it's stuff that we've actually written.
Yeah,
so
that was just off the dome.
That's just dumb things.
I was just thinking, like, the wholesome image of, like, a porch swing being corrupted by
that's right.
Like,
yeah.
Turn a porch swing into a St. Andrew's cross.
I know. Well, and it's funny, because this is so much fun, but it also has that sort of sacrilegious air at this point.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yep.
But, like, when he passed,
sacrilicious.
It's still sad to this day.
Yeah.
Actually, our goal for this show was that we hoped he would see it.
Yeah.
And on the way out, say, with sort of a sparkle in his eye, "I didn't hate it."
That was the dream.
And that's not going to happen.
Oh, he's looking down on you from CBC heaven.
I've been saying that this show is probably making Stuart McLean turn over in his grave, but just so that he can get a better view.
That's dark. I like it, though.
Dark. Yeah.
So far, good responses. Have you performed it anywhere else or just in Vancouver
This is
far?
The premiere.
This
yeah.
is the
yeah.
premiere.
So we premiered to two sold-out shows so far.
Oh, holy shit.
Which is, frankly, kind of unheard of, and I'm feeling very humbled about it. And we have four more shows left, and tickets are going fast. So
I better grab mine. Yeah. I think I really want to see yours. I really want to see Megan Phillips' Periscope.
Oh yes,
because I love Megan Phillips very much.
Our shows share a director.
Nice. They do. Yeah, Jeff Laird directed both of our shows.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I thought it was TJ Daw that directed her show.
TJ did the dramaturgy for Megan's show.
I gotcha. I don't know what that means.
Well, he helped her with the script and figure out the story.
Okay, is that what a dramaturgy is?
Yeah.
Why don't they just call it a script?
Like a script doctor?
Well, dramaturge.
A dramaturge is the person who does the script doctoring.
Oh, okay.
Which is the sort of Hollywood version of that
I
term.
See.
Ooh. And, and it's because
it sounds
theater
like
people
dark are, wizardry.
Yeah, it's because theater people are dramaturged.
Yes, they so I was thinking of, like, metallurgy, which is, I think, a Scrabble thing that I had to investigate one time. I was like, I don't think that's a word.
Oh, that's a very totally long Scrabble word. I don't know if that's real.
I think someone had metal and then added allergy.
Oh. I add allergy to most things.
Just a little, just allergy.
Actually, there's allergy in these beans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what makes you so full of beans.
The nice thing about allergy is it really makes the umami pop.
Fuck off.
You just love umami.
I bought umami paste from Trader Joe's in the States, thinking like, oh, this will be good for, like, I thought it was like a specifically Asian paste, like that it would have miso in it or something.
Right.
It's just MSG.
No, actually, it's a very strange combination of things. There's tomato, and then it gets like, then it's like anchovy, and then some kind of cheese, and then it's like some sort of weird mushroom, and like possibly something else.
Umami staples.
Umami, I say. I haven't used it yet. I'm afraid. So many strange ingredients.
So sounds really good. Yeah.
I'm gonna throw it into some like French onion soup or something.
Sounds like J. Kenji Lopez Alt would approve.
What?
J. Kenji Lopez Alt.
SeriousEats.com.
The only man I'd follow to war.
Food war?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, he is. He is.
What is his name?
The best. J. Kenji Lopez Alt.
It's an initial, J.
J.
Kenji. He goes by Kenji.
Okay.
And his last name is Lopez Alt.
Yeah. With a hyphen.
That must be so fucking hard to put into forms. The internet forms must be like, you are definitely a robot, sir.
Definitely not true.
He's kind of a big deal.
He's so great.
So people know him now.
Best pie crust recipe in the universe. He changed my life with his pie crust recipe.
I have all these like food boys.
I know.
On
I'm not good at pie crust. I would be.
And the trick is a food processor, which seems counterintuitive because you generally don't want to overwork the gluten in pie crust. God forbid.
It's true.
But this is a two-step food processor situation where you do flour and butter for one stage and make it a big doughy ball, then break that up into small pieces, add another round of flour, and then small pea-sized bits, and it turns out amazing.
Nice. Yeah.
He also pioneered the reverse sear technique.
Mm.
Is that where you
cook the meat low,
sous vide or something, and then
sous vide or just low in the oven, like a roast, just like 225,
and then put the sear on after.
Put the sear on after, and it maximizes your cooked pink flesh.
Get that Maillard reaction.
Exactly. Minimizes the gray on the outside.
Okay.
That's so good.
Mm. Well, now I know, I guess. Dang it. I've been doing it the regular way this whole time.
Like a chump.
Hey.
Anyway. Another tangent. I love him.
I love him.
He's a charming guy. You can see YouTube videos of him.
J. Kenji Lopez Alt. Mm-hmm. Kenji.
Genji. What's Genji?
It's a character from Overwatch.
Overwatch. I was like, I know this from somewhere.
I hate that I know this.
Yeah?
That's all I know. No! Or, my wife does, and it's in my house constantly.
Or the protagonist of a classic Japanese proto-novel.
Oh.
The Tale of Genji by Lady Murasaki.
Nerd.
Yeah, it's 900 AD, I believe, one of the first novels of all time.
A long time ago.
Something, it's really early. Like, yeah? It predates the European
novel. I was like, you
lot.
Fucking loser. I'm like, I know about that book, actually.
Yeah.
If I didn't, I would probably be fired, because I've worked in Asian studies and world literature, so I should probably know about that book.
Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah.
So are you sleeping at all? Like, how's your health as you do all this stuff? Because it's a really demanding thing. It's like being on tour, but at home.
Yeah. Slowly failing.
Okay.
You're good for like
you
the first
You were really
run,
sick
then...
to start with, weren't you?
I did have kind of a bad cold, and it got better, and now it's getting slowly worse, but manageably worse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Great.
I'm worried about you, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, today was a little rough. Part of the problem is after you do your show, you go out, you flyer lineups, you see other shows, and you do press. It's this full-time gig, more than full-time gig. Mm-hmm. And then after all that, at the end of the night, you go to the Fringe Bar to, like, unwind, see your friends, have a drink, dance, whatever. And then you get up in the morning and do it again, and it's hard. So there's a 12-hour rule.
Okay.
If you have a show in 12 hours... you go home. Whatever time that is. So if you have like a 6 p.m. show, sure, stay up till 6 a.m. That's fine. If you've got a 1 o'clock show, you're going home at 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just...
That's actually a good rule. Home. It's very sensible.
I think that's Chase Padgett. He's the one I heard it from anyway. First,
it's an incredibly sensible rule.
I definitely should have heeded that advice in Edinburgh, because the bars are open till like 5 a.m. there.
It's too much.
You weren't doing Fringe, but you were performing.
I performed every day, sometimes twice a day.
Were you so booked every time, or did you just like show up?
I would get last minute calls. So I play the cello, and a bunch of friends of mine were running all the music stages all over Edinburgh, and so I'd get a call like in the afternoon, like, hey, we had a cancellation at 5 at the church, can you come and play? It's like, sure. So then I'd do an hour set. And so I just did that. Like, I had some pre-booked, but then other days I would like busk or I'd like meet people and they'd be like, oh, come sit in with me. Mm-hmm. So then it would be like, okay, now I'm doing three shows today because I'm sitting in with him and her and myself. Like,
it got, you got, you were already super talented before you left, but I think that you got way better.
That's boot camp.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Boot totally camp super hard. Your voice was different when you came back from Edinburgh. You like found your singing voice and you were like, so good on the old celli.
Well, because I had to, I didn't have my crutch of the loop station.
Oh, I love loop station.
I know, it's so fun, but I just had a rented cello and my voice, so I'm just like, how do I make it work and like play these songs best that are like possible. Super, super, super stripped down, and like then my voice had to carry it, so then I really, yeah, I developed a different technique.
Yeah, it was completely different when I came back. I was like, damn, it's like really, really cool.
I feel like my voice has changed from doing this show.
Yeah,
I think so. I did a month of rehearsal, like daily, just trying to learn 60 minutes of straight storytelling. I talked the whole time.
Wow.
And doing that impression the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I lost my voice midway through the month because I am bad at warming up. And yeah, and then since then, I think it's dropped pretty significantly.
Yeah.
Changed in tempo. I'm grateful I can still do the impression. I was really worried when my voice came back that it would sound wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's still there,
but you're able to carry it a little bit sort of lower down.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's more sustainable.
Yeah,
right?
It is. Throat is a really like, yeah, that's where it gets all bad.
Mm-hmm. That is where it gets all bad. So yeah, discovering how to do it in the chest is exactly what it was.
This is the thing that I'm discovering is so good about.
Oh, I did say that. I did just say that.
Why don't we do it in the chest? That's the alien sex song.
Nice.
Oh, thanks, guys. I am a comedian sometimes.
I've seen that DVD.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Alien Pups.
Yeah.
It's got a name like Aileen. Like.
Oh, God. Mm.
Come on, Aileen. Yeah, that works in two ways, right?
Aileen's so clean Midnight Runners. I mean everything.
Burst out of my chest. and then take a rest. I don't know, man. This is a silly day.
Yeah. Just dance on my breast.
Yeah, this is what happens when art kids aren't stopped.
Oh. Yeah, a lot of green.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, go into schools and stop us before it continues.
Yeah, make us engineers. That's what matters, right?
Yeah. Okay.
STEM.
STEM.
I'm going to make the world's most powerful dildo.
There's a Fringe show in that. For sure.
The world. Oh, yeah. Everybody's going to go to a show called The World's Most Powerful Dildo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And we need, note to
we
it down.
Need more female solo comedy shows. Yeah. Too many white dudes like us doing solo comedy shows. We're part of the problem.
Yeah.
Save us.
I need to do a show that isn't confessional and it isn't like about my life's process.
Yeah,
so that's what I want to do.
Right.
Something silly.
Do it about the big dildo.
That's what I'm like. The world's most powerful dildo.
Oh, that's great.
I demand you wear a lab coat.
My God, yes, and the stethoscope. You're not even that kind of doctor. Like, you never know when you're going to need it.
Yeah. It's incredibly important to monitor heart rate.
Dildo is powered by CERN. Could God make a dildo so big even he couldn't fuck it? Kyle, you're sincerely questioning the philosophy of this question.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody else is just losing it, and you're like, huh, cool. Huh. What's the verdict?
Imagine the possibilities.
God has a cloaca.
Is that the title?
For sure that's true.
He's an efficient dude.
Yeah.
Or lady, I don't know.
Yeah. Cloaca.
Cloaca. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's just...
The everything hole.
Oh, that's another good title. The everything hole.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love you both.
We were thinking about doing a Sea Hags Fringe show.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how we would, but...
I don't know how we would. It was a dream sort of when we first started the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we'll have, like... I don't know. Like, I wanted to do it at Edinburgh Fringe where it would be sort of like a talk show format.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could invite somebody, like a new person every day to, like, recount their Fringe experience or, like...
Yeah,
sort of...
Whatever,
oh,
promo
hello.
Their show kind of thing. Because what
oh,
I...
Hello.
What I really loved was a few shows that I saw, like music things, where people would get a different person to come sit in with them and like be a guest. So every day it was different, and so they actually got repeat folks that would come and see it again. Mm. So like, oh, I really like those songs, and you never know who's gonna drop in and like play their own songs with somebody.
It's pretty common. There's actually some shows in the Fringe at Vancouver that are doing something similar, cameo bits.
Yeah.
I did a cameo bit in a show called The Beer Show in Winnipeg, played Bob and Doug McKenzie with Micah. Michael Allanen, who's doing Beaver Dreams at this Fringe.
I've heard about that one.
Oh, it's so good. Okay. It is so good. And Micah did a cameo in this Fringe in Mac Gordon's Six Fine Lines. There's a pizza delivery scene, and he gets a different Fringe artist to deliver the pizza. I don't know if he does it every show, but it definitely happens sometimes.
Nice.
And then in Naturally, which is by a couple of artists from Seattle, they have two shows that they do, and the audience decides which show it's going to be at the top of the show.
Oh, wow.
So there's that kind of audience interaction, which is great, but they always have an audience plant that's another Fringe artist. So when I saw it, it was DK Reinemer. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But cool, DK man. Has a show called Help, I'm an American, and it's sketch comedy. It's so funny.
Nice.
So it's a really common thing, or not really common, it's fairly common and great.
Yeah, always it's a good, awesome. I think, especially, like, because the Fringe here is 2 weeks or longer. Because, like, the Edinburgh, like, the month-long Fringe, and I don't know if other Fringes in Canada are long, but they're all two-week runs kind of
two-week tops, yeah.
And so that seems a little more manageable to, like, sustain, I guess, unless you're doing all of them, which lots of people do, travel. But, like, to do, like, a full month, like, I saw some stand-ups get really frustrated, like, I'm doing the same hour every day.
Oof.
That would be really, really hard. So, like, how do you mix it up? So, like, obviously some crowd work and doing some stuff, like, built into your set, and that's, like, what I wanted to do musically as well. But, yeah, it just seems like you got to do something to mix it up a little bit, or else you're going to get so frustrated.
Well, what I'm realizing is the hardcore Fringers who do tour it, it's like they're in summer camp for 8 months.
That's true.
It's so much, and, like, they're having the most fun, obviously, but they're also exhausted.
It's also a roller coaster, I mean, in some ways, you're as happy as your last show.
Yeah, well, that's always true.
Always true. And then, like, you get a stinky review, you get a mean Colin Thomas review, that can just be such a kick to the gut.
Fuck you, Colin Thomas.
Fuck Colin Thomas.
You guys
fuck
title
Colin
this
Thomas.
Podcast, maybe.
We do. We could call it Fuck Colin Thomas, but then Colin Thomas would review us negatively.
Yeah, yeah. I think The Everything Hole is maybe a better title for this one.
I like The Everything Hole. I think it's got to be that.
Pretty good. I don't know if that works into, like, promoting the Vinyl Cafe thing, but I don't care. That's just a great line.
Oh, we will link to your show as aggressively as we possibly can. We could call it 50 Shades of
No,
Dave,
no, call it The Everything Hole.
Call
that's,
it The Everything
so good.
Hole. That's just, you that's hate just it, amazing. But you like it.
I just
it.
Don't like talking about titling the podcast on the podcast. It
really Oh, I love that.
Steals the mystery away.
There's no mystery.
I was listening to Mabimbap when they discovered...
Mabimbam?
Whatever it is.
my brother, and brother.
Mabim. My brother, and
my butt.
Paul.
No, it's that podcast where brothers
Bimibap.
Discuss Korean food.
exactly.
Mabimbap. Mabimbap. Yeah.
I'm 100% on board for that podcast.
I know, that actually sounds really good.
I just want to eat Korean food and listen to the brothers.
But yeah, just hearing them talk about shrimp heaven now.
Shrimp heaven now! Nico,
like,
we can't keep doing this!
No, we can't! We can't keep doing it.
They're gonna be so mad we referenced it if they ever found out.
Oh, right, because we're not allowed to actually say it.
No.
Right.
I forgot
it's
about
too
that.
Much.
Why not? Oh,
too
you can't
much.
Do a podcast joke on another podcast?
No. Just the whole joke during their podcast. Why are we talking about another podcast on this
we
podcast?
We talk about that podcast a lot on
it's
this
so
podcast.
Good.
It's my favorite.
The whole joke was that it was too good, it was too funny, and they didn't want to wear it out too soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can only say one piece of it. So
you can
just
say
tweet.
Shrimp.
They're like, don't tweet shrimp heaven now at us all the time. Just do, like, just try, like, heaven or whatever. Yeah. Or shrimp heaven when.
Shrimp heaven when.
Daniel. Will we ever find out what happened to Daniel? Did he go to shrimp heaven? I hope for his sake
he's
he did.
Yeah.
All Daniels go to shrimp heaven.
All Daniels go to shrimp heaven. Oh my God, you guys. I'm really excited about your show, and I really want to see it.
I can't wait to see you in the crowd.
Yeah.
It'll be very easy to spot
you. You're going to be shrieking the whole time.
Oh yeah, it'll be super easy to spot
me. And if you sit front row, I will say some words directly to you.
And then I'll turn so red.
Yeah. It'll be the best.
It'll be great for both of us and also terrible for me.
Yeah. Just like Dave and Morley's sex life.
Yeah. Terrible, great for them, terrible for me. I don't know why I have to be here to watch you guys. It doesn't work if you're not.
But I will say my parents came yesterday.
And then they also saw the show.
One of those is true.
Well, I won't say which.
But my dad's, you know, he's a bit of a prude. And,
I remember.
Yeah, Tom.
Yeah, I performed stand-up for them, and
oh,
it
God.
it fucked me up for a little while.
Yeah, for like, you were the same after like a week or so. Oh, you were at that, didn't you?
I was, yeah.
It was,
oh God, just seeing Tom's face.
Oh, he was so mad.
How does he have sons?
And you don't even do, like, you don't do particularly dirty material.
No, your stuff is like charming and
a cute hand job is about as dirty as it ever gets.
Yeah, anyway, it wrong-footed me. So I was happy that Nico was performing.
Yeah, because I could look directly at your mother and say my dirtiest lines.
Yeah.
I didn't, but I thought about it.
Sure. But even he loved it. And I think we did a good job of towing the line and getting up to the sort of filthy material and then pulling back and just letting the audience, you know, a monster is scarier when you don't see it.
Right.
So you're talking about Dave. We're back to Alien right now.
Yeah. We're Jaws.
This
is the Jaws of sex stories.
It's called Jaws.
Does the dick pop out of the water?
Pops right out of the mouth.
I think we're going to need a bigger condom.
Fuck you. Oh, man. Okay, well, is there anything else you guys want to talk about the show before I send you on your merry way to go and work another show?
Yeah, right. I gotta go work Beaver Dreams, which really is a great show.
Yeah, tell us about Beaver Dreams.
Yeah, let's talk about Beaver Dreams. It's by Lost and Found Puppet Co. So it's a puppet show, and it's a clown show. And it's kind of a verbatim history of Maggie Winston's family cabin, where she would go every summer, and her family has gone every summer for generations.
Okay.
And there are these beavers that live there, who also have gone back for generations. And it's the two of them fighting for dominance over this lake.
Oh, that's okay. So cute.
It's so charming.
There's no vagina jokes in it or anything.
There's no vagina, but the beavers do get wet. Yeah.
Fuck.
That part is true. And it's good.
Yeah, such
fine.
A goober. I
but
love
like,
it.
So there's oh, that sounds so sweet. There's live recorded, or there's recorded footage of her family talking about the cabins. So it has kind of this NFB feel to it, National Film Board. It feels like one of those old documentaries they do about the land in Canada. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the connection to our show, really, is the Canadiana side of it. Mm-hmm. But it's a very different show. It's clown, and the puppets are so cute, these little beaver puppets. Aww. And they sell little beaver pins at the end of the show that are adorable, and you will want one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I love
that's
pins.
At Havana?
That's at Havana. There's a show today, so after
you will
this
be there
podcast.
Very shortly.
Yeah, it has come out. But yeah, the show's all week. Beaver Dreams, it's on Facebook.
Yeah. Any other shows you guys want to like plug for your friends, or...?
So many.
There's so many going.
Periscope, like, for sure.
Mostly just go to 50 Shades, though.
Yeah. Well, no.
Go
see lots. Take a risk on something you don't know anything about. That's the heart of the fringe.
Megan Phillips is one of the most emotionally honest performers I've ever met in my life, and she's just a beautiful soul, and I think people should listen to her. She has a lot to say.
I want to plug a David Lynch wet dream.
Is that a show?
It's a show. Oh, my God.
I know someone I need to take to that.
Yeah. Oh, it's so great. I saw it in Regina, and it was my favorite show of Regina Fringe. I've plugged it so much because I'm just in love with the show. It's the weirdest Fringe show I have ever seen.
Weirdest Fringe show you've ever seen?
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
And, I mean, the title tells you what it is. It is that. Yeah. But it's beautifully put together. Clearly just an enormous amount of work and talent went into making this thing. Making this weird fucking show. So go see it. It's great. Okay. And she had her first performance canceled.
Oh, no.
Because there was a power outage on Granville Island.
Oh, shit.
And she got the brunt of it. Our venue still had power, so we got her audience. And now it is my cosmic duty to send audience back to her. Nice. But I was plugging it well before that happened. It's just a great show.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see Nancy Kelly's two shows.
Kenny. Nancy Kenny.
I just met her. She's instantly lovely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your princess is in another castle.
Oh, I heard about that.
It's great. Saw it in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Everyone or everybody?
I think it's Everybody Dies in December.
Everybody Dies in December. Yeah. I think they're both going to be great.
Yeah.
And I saw Field Zoology 101 the other day, which was very funny. There's lots. There's so much.
Cool. I haven't done like a Fringe thing in a long time where you just go, you put your sneakers on, you just kind of go from show to show to show, and
do
it's
it.
Like
it's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to see what's available tomorrow because I got the day off, so I might as well check something out.
So during the week, it starts at 5. It's all evening stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having us on the podcast. Absolutely. It's
thank you for coming. What is your venue that you guys
are at? We're at Studio 1398. Okay. Our next show is tonight at 9:55 p.m. I don't know if that'll be before or after this podcast
comes out. That will be before.
Before. Okay, so that was Sunday, 9:55. You missed it. Sorry. and then our next show is Tuesday at 5 p.m.
Okay, so that's going to be a same day for some people. And if they get this message quickly enough, they can hopefully scamper out and see that.
Yeah. Or next Saturday and Sunday, September 15th and 16th.
Okay,
right. We have shows.
Yeah, I'll be to see at least one of them.
So. Perfect. Oh, yeah. Can't wait to see your face in the crowd.
A beautiful face. Okay, well, thank you.
Have a super fun rest of your day.
Thank you.
And
you too.
Catch you another time.
And okay. a little bit and just remember, everybody, be good to each other. And take someone you love by the hand and put it where you want that hand to really be.
That's it for us. Goodbye.